May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may have noticed a shift in the Gospels today. The past few weeks we've had what are called missionary texts from the Gospel of Matthew. But beginning with today, we shift to parables. There'll be several weeks of parables from the Gospel of Matthew. Do you like parables? I love them. And some of them are quite familiar to us. I bet when I said this morning, a sower went out to sow, many of you probably thought, oh, I know that one. But our familiarity with the parables can be a problem, actually, because parables are meant for us to engage them fully each time we hear them in a new way. And so if we kind of turn off our ears and we think, okay, I know what that means, I don't really need to think about this one, that's not what a parable is for. Parables are like riddles. They're meant to engage us, to challenge us and make us think. And when Jesus teaches using parables, they usually turn our normal way of thinking about things completely upside down. The kingdom of God defies our conventional wisdom. When Jesus taught in parables, he taught in the tradition of wisdom teachers. And so Jesus wanted his listeners to identify with the characters in the parable, to enter into the story and pay attention to their reactions to it. So the parable of the sowers is probably very familiar to most of you. And Jesus even calls it the parable of the sower when he explains it to the disciples. The piece of the gospel that we have this morning is actually a passage there's been part of it cut out of the middle, so you might want to go read that at home, take it home and see what verses are missing in there. So the first part that we got was actually the parable, then there are other things that Jesus says, and then he explains the parable to the disciples, and those are put right up against one another in our lectionary. So the parable was told to the crowds, the multitudes. Jesus was in a boat and they were all on the shore. And then the parable was explained to the disciples. So it's called the parable of the sower, but some people call it the parable of the four soils, the four different types of soil, or the parable of the miraculous yields. And if you look at the parable through each of those titles, you will see something a little bit different. One commentator calls Jesus the high-risk sower. Because who is the sower in the parable? Well, it can be Jesus, can be the disciples, can be us, probably all of the above. So one commentator says, Jesus is the high-risk sower, because in this parable, the sower just throws the seeds everywhere, doesn't he? He doesn't go out and look at the ground and say, okay, I'm going to plant right here, because this ground is good right here. He throws it everywhere, and it goes everywhere, lands everywhere. It lands on the path, it lands on the rocky soil, it lands on the soil with weeds of thorns, and it lands on the good soil all together. Have you ever had the experience that someone comes up to you And you might not even remember the person. But it's years after you've said something or you did something that you've long forgotten, and that person comes up and tells you that whatever it was that you said or you did that day changed their life. This happens to teachers, mentors, priests, parents, managers, grandparents, young people. It happens to most all of us, I think. Whatever it was, you threw out that seed of wisdom or experience or compassion or love, and then you forgot about it. But the person was changed forever. And usually we don't even know that that happened. If we look at the parable through the four different kinds of soil, the path, the rocky soil, the thorny ground, or the ground with the weeds, and the good soil, we notice that the soils can't choose to change. They are what they are. The seed lands there, and what happens, happens. That raises some questions. Whether or not a seed grows in a soil depends upon many things. Not only the type of soil or the depth at which it is planted, but also the available sun, water, and the way it is tended. In other words, just as seeds have to rely upon God, and we have to rely upon God when we plant things in the ground, we ourselves have to rely upon God to bring things to fruition in our soil. And we can pray to be good soil so that God's word can be rooted in us and can grow. So Jesus says, sow the seeds, sow them everywhere. Even if you don't think they're going to, even if you think nothing's going to happen there, sow them everywhere and don't judge. Throw them out there in the world. Be a high-risk sower. Because 3/4 of the seeds that the sower sows in the parable do not produce any crop. 3/4 of the seeds. But the other quarter, the yield is so high that any farmer would laugh out loud with joy and amazement. Seed yielding 100 times the amount, or 60 times, or 30 times. Any farmer would go to the bank with any one of those yields. So Jesus is saying that the kingdom of heaven is revealed when the smallest things create great abundance. And that can only happen when we cooperate with God. God won't make us do anything, and we can't do very much without God. It has to be both us and God. Another image for this kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of heaven is like a YouTube video that goes viral. One that makes hundreds of thousands of people laugh for joy and keeps on going forever because people keep on passing it on. So sow the seeds wherever you are in your life, out in the world. Sow the seeds. Throw them everywhere. Don't worry about what happens to them, or just throw them out there. And for ourselves, pray to be good soil so that God's seeds can grow inside of us. Amen.
Amen.